I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. My colleague and friend, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. We turn to the headlines from London about Myanmar, Burma. Desperate Burmese refugees flee to Thailand and India to escape crisis. Subhead, tensions rise on borders as thousands seek safe haven from military crackdown. First graph. Myanmar's escalating crisis, Myanmar, a.k.a. Burma, is spilling across its borders as thousands of refugees seek safe haven in India and Thailand in the wake of the military coup and bloody crackdowns on anti-coup protesters. Gordon, the coup in Myanmar, Burma, we've talked these last weeks, is in some fashion aided, assisted, or vouchsafed by the People's Republic of China. Is it in the People's Republic of China's interest to turn Burma into a wasteland like Venezuela, to empty it of its population? Does that suit Beijing, Gordon?
I actually don't think that it does, John. I think that what Beijing wants out of Burma is stability, because they want their gas pipelines to go through Burma. They want the Burmese to actually love the Chinese. That's not exactly the case right now, especially because Beijing has been standing behind the coup leaders, and they're not particularly liked by a majority of the people in Burma. I guess Beijing feels it doesn't really make a difference that the coup is in, that the military is in charge. But this is not, I think, to Beijing's liking.
Would it be, to your knowledge, Gordon, that Beijing would have had a heads up on the coup, that it would not have surprised them?
I think that they probably did have a heads up on this, because they have had traditional relationships with the military. And besides, Beijing has spies everywhere, so I'm sure they knew what was going to happen.
We go to our colleague, Michael Yan. Michael Yan is a war correspondent. However, he's lived for many years in this region, especially in Thailand, and has conversations over time with the Thais and with the many ethnic groups that gather in this part of the world, moving back and forth on the border. Michael is traveling. He's in Central America, but he's here with us now. Michael, a very good evening to you. Fleeing Burma for Thailand and India. You've given me to understand that the border is very fluid between Burma, Myanmar, and Thailand, especially in the north. So would this be extraordinary that the Burmese are leaving, and would they be welcomed by the Thai regime?
Oh, they're getting a mixed welcome. I mean, for instance, in Manipur in India, you know, the Indians gave them a very cold welcome, if you want to even call it a welcome. They were stopped there. And then on the Thai side, you know, up on the, for instance, Chiang Rai, Chiang Mai, that area, it's very jungle area, mountainous. So it's very fluid in that regard. Of course, you have to cross a river and that sort of thing. And the routes are quite well known. And the Thais, of course, they've got their own issues right now, whether it's internal conflict, of course, going on a lot of that in Bangkok, but it affects the entire country. And then there's the economic problems. Much of that is caused by the pandemic response. For instance, now there's increased worry in Thailand about the pandemic, even just a few cases in the last week or so in Chiang Mai City, which is the capital of Chiang Mai province, which is close to Myanmar. You know, they're worried about just a few cases of COVID. So obviously, when so many people start to flood over the borders, as we have talked about many times, every time you have big conflict, you also have pandemic and famine. Not that they have any famine there at this time, but this, you know, pre-existing pandemic, you know, the neighbors, for instance, in India and up in China and over in Thailand are all concerned about that. Keeping in mind that Thais, for instance, I had a friend, an American friend that got dengue in Thailand some years ago. We still joke about it because the Thai doctor said, well, you got it from a Burmese mosquito. And he's quite serious about it. I mean, so this sort of normal neighborly, you might say, xenophobia is normal there. And Thais do have economic problems at this time. And they're also worried about the war spilling over into Thailand. The Burmese military has assured Thailand that, you know, wayward artillery shells or airstrikes will not land over into Thailand. But the Karen people and others around Shan State are not so sure. They want to be able to flee into Thailand in case of major airstrikes. And of course, airstrikes are ongoing as our artillery and infantry has moved in and firing mortar rounds. If you're close enough to fire mortar rounds, I mean, you're close enough to do infantry attacks, which is what they've been doing.
Gordon, you have a question for Michael.
Michael, this is really a confusing situation in Burma because you have the migrations into India, migrations into Thailand, people fleeing into China, bringing, by the way, COVID-19. But the question is this really abnormal, or have we seen this before in Burmese history where you've had migrations out, internal fights? Is this normal or is this extraordinary?
Oh, it's sort of normal in the context. I mean, there's camps along the Thai-Burmese border and have been for years. In fact, if you go near some of the border areas like Mae Hong Son, I've been out there, you'll see there's huge markets near the border where people, the little roadside stands and whatnot sell every sort of military gear, not actual weapons, but they're selling, you know, whether it's ponchos or flashlights and anything that you need to basically go to war. And they've been doing that for years. So this, you know, and also, Thailand has traditionally been, sort of, let's say, my Thai friends, when they hear this, won't be happy, but sort of the Pakistan of the fight in Myanmar. In other words, the people, the Karen people can use places like Chiang Mai as a base, and they do, and Chiang Rai and that sort of thing. And so there's this strange relationship that you see often in border countries around, whether it's Laos or Cambodia, you know, with Thailand, where it's just kind of a frenemies type thing going on. And so, yeah, this will definitely spill over into Thailand. It already is.
Michael, I remember early on in the virus, you were in Chiang Mai, and week after week we would talk to you about the virus coming to Thailand. And you made it very clear that the Thais have a personality that is sunny, or at least looking for rosy scenarios and not especially pressed by day-to-day occasions. I remember you talking about masks being worn in pharmacies, but on the street there was no sense of alarm. And at the time we were ignorant. We didn't know how the virus was going to spread. We were getting these scary messages here in America. And as I recall, there never really was a profound reporting of Thais taking huge casualties. I'm setting all this up because I'm wondering, is there a similarity with the people from Burma, the people who are fleeing? Especially these tribes that you've told us about, these ethnic subunits in Burma, are they sunny and rosy like the Thais? And is this coup discontinuous from their personalities?
They tend to be. I mean, they're very resilient. That's why for years I've likened Thais to bamboo. I mean, and Thais actually seem to love it when I've done that. They see me do it in American press and it leaks back to Thailand and gets in their press that, you know, that Michael Young compares us to bamboo because they're so tough, but they bend, they know when to bend, and they'll bend almost flat. But then when everything's over, they stand right back up again, and Thailand keeps marching on. That's why they call it Teflon Thailand. And the Karen people, that's sort of an Asian thing in general, it seems. Just this really serious resilience of the human spirit.
And does it extend into Burma, to your knowledge, across the border?
It does, but a problem with Myanmar or Burma is the fractiousness of the people. You know, back in the 40s and 50s, Thailand underwent a Thaiification. That's what they called it, Thaiification, when they worked very hard to get all these ethnic groups speaking Thai language and learning, you know, their version of Thai history so that they had a common playbook off, you know, to work with. In other words, revering the king, King Rama IX, and that sort of thing is a very uniting feature of the Thai spirit. And that's how Thailand, I mean, because there's many reasons why Thailand itself should split apart, but that Thaiification was very successful. The United States helped with that. Myanmar has not had that. They're just still incredibly fractious. So even if the Burmese government were not there and being as despotic as it is, the ethnic groups themselves are constantly fighting each other, which you don't have that as much in Thailand. Thailand, they look at themselves as Thai first, and that's very important. Americans need to keep that in mind.
Michael_Yan at Facebook. He's a war correspondent. He's traveling. He's in Central Asia, but he's drawing upon his many years of experience living in Southeast Asia, especially Chiang Mai. Who knew, Michael, when we first started talking and you and Chiang Mai, it would turn into a nexus of what appears to be a civil war or a complete failure of Burma. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.